Good morning. My name is Sonia Haynes, and I'm with the Philadelphia Department of Public Health. And as with the other speakers, I want to thank you all on the last day for being here and listening to our program. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. Okay. I have no disclosures at this time. And this slide here is a typical neighborhood in the city of Philadelphia. As of July 2007, Philadelphia had about 1.4 million residents in the city. We ranked sixth largest city in the United States. And this street here is typical of our city. There are row homes everywhere. They're close to one another. They're attached. We call it the city of brotherly love. So all of you that are coming to APHA next year, let me be the first to welcome you. We'll be hosting the conference next year. Okay. The target area we selected for our project, and it includes 18 zip codes. It's the area with the children with the highest elevated blood lead levels. Most children in that area we found had asthma. In that area, our clients are considered family and group child care providers, and I'll talk to you a little bit more about that. We found that most of those providers live in the target area within those 18 zip codes, and this area also houses the city's poorest residents and the oldest, most deteriorated homes. Many of the people in this target area are of low socioeconomic status. They have limited disposable income. They have a high prevalence of older housing. More than 50% of the houses in our target area were built before 1940. Some of the demographics of that area, more than 385,000 people live in our target area, predominantly African American, about 20% white, 10% Hispanic, 3% Asian, and more than 35,000 children live in that target area, and this information comes from the year 2000 census. In 2005, we estimated that 359 family daycare homes were in this target area, and family daycare homes are people in your neighborhood, women in your neighborhood, out of their own private home, they conduct the child care business, and they're licensed by our city of Philadelphia to do this service. We found that about 44 group daycare homes in our target area, and these are homes where in your private home you could care for 7 to 12 children. As you can see, these child care providers don't make a lot of money. For family child care providers, a little more than $10,000. For group, a little more than $14,000. In Philadelphia as a whole, there's 816 licensed family child care providers, and that's in contrast to the more than 8,000 unlicensed child care providers. And those 8,000 unlicensed child care providers, they care for more than 9,000 children from birth to age 5 years old. So the work that we're doing with Healthy Homes is only a tip of the iceberg, because we're only capturing a small group of those providers. So what is Healthy Homes? I'm sure many of you have heard of Healthy Homes. It's an initiative by the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and it's to protect children and families and housing-related health and safety hazards. And what they try to take a look at is the entire house. It used to be a time where programs looked at just lead, but now we're looking at everything. The Philadelphia Department of Public Health applied for a grant with HUD back in 2005, and we received a 3-year demonstration Healthy Homes grant, and we made our Healthy Homes program specific to home-based child care. We wanted to change the child care providers' knowledge and attitudes and behaviors concerning environmental health and safety hazards, and we wanted to increase the sustainability of the interventions. We wanted to make sure that the work that we did in these houses, that these child care providers kept up with it, and we wanted them to have an understanding of their environmental health hazards and how these hazards can affect the children that come to their homes every day for child care. Okay. Some of the activities that we've done with the program is we completed 150 assessments of child care homes. That was our commitment to HUD. We were going to look at 150 child care homes and go in and look at those houses from top to bottom. We were going to do remediations to 50 homes. So we went in, out of those 150 homes that we looked at, we took the 50 houses that needed the most work and that were considered the most not safe. We did everything that we could afford to those houses. We changed windows. We put in new windows. We took carpet off the floor and put down new flooring. We replaced the tiles on ceilings where we found water damage. We went on some roofs and replaced some roofs. We replaced appliances, a lot of things to make the home safe. Some of the problems and safety hazards that we found in the home are listed here. A lot of them didn't have safety gates on the stairs at the bottom or the top of the stairs. A lot of them had cleaning supplies that were accessible to the children. Many of them had tall and heavy furniture that when we came into the houses, we could see an accident waiting to happen, and you'll see a couple of slides showing that. This is Miguel Ramirez. He's one of the staff people, and he's here with us today, that works with the child care providers. This is a typical child care home where Miguel would go into the house and try to do the assessment with the child care provider. We asked the child care provider to have someone there during the day when we would come out so that we could have the provider's attention, because as you can see with this provider, her hands were full. This is a typical home of a child care provider, and it looks like a lot is going on there, but this is a typical row home. She took the front area of her house and made it the child care area, and we talked to this child care provider about it's too much going on, it's a lot of clutter, it's safety hazards, and fire hazards. Another typical child care provider's home, and some of the guidelines to participate in our program is that you had to be the owner of your home, you had to be current with your property taxes on your home, you had to actually have kids registered in your program and attending daycare there on a daily basis, and you had to be paying taxes to the city of Philadelphia for your child care business, because this is your business. You had to also live within our zip code, and you had to sign a waiver of liability so that the things that we taught you, the things that we brought into your home, like the HEPA vacuum cleaners that we gave each client, you know, you were responsible for the use and safety of those items once we left. Here's a young woman from the National Organization of Professional Organizers, and she came in, and there is actually a program like that. She came in and talked to our child care providers, and we did a workshop called Clearing the Clutter, and that was one of our most popular workshops. She brought in lots of materials to teach the providers about storage. Some of the other workshops we had were infant and child CPR, pediatric first aid, crib safety, maintaining a healthy home, playground safety, food handling, and sanitation. And another workshop we had was asthma, allergens, and indoor air quality, and we talked to the child care providers and tried to educate them about what things in their home, you know, affected the children's asthma. Here's another child care provider's house. Coming into a room like this would drive me insane. But a lot of the children like this. But Miguel and his coworker talked to the child care provider about how this room is not safe. It's too much going on. The door is covered. The doors need to be, you know, easily accessible and identifiable. The exit sign is practically covered. Here's another slide of a child care provider's home that we went to. And I don't know if you can tell, but this is a baby in here, and this is the heating vent. So in the wintertime, that heat was going right in on that baby. Plus, the playpen is pretty dirty. So we talked to the child care provider about that, about moving that crib and getting another one. Here's a slide where we talked to a child care provider about heavy furniture not being secure. This is a TV just on a shelf. And the children were playing down there on the floor, and we told the child care provider something had to be done that day about that, because that was a really bad safety hazard. Like I said earlier, a lot of the child care providers don't make a lot of money, so they try to makeshift repairs. So this child care provider had a bad roof. The water was coming in through the ceiling, so she taped up plastic bags to cover that. But we were able to come in and deal with the roof and then come in and deal with the ceiling. Here's another makeshift repair for a child care provider, just putting up sheeting to cover ceilings. This was pretty bad, but they don't... You know, they just don't make a lot of money to make the necessary repairs, and that's why we think our program was so successful. And while so many people wanted to participate in our program, is because we came in and did all this work free. Here's another child care provider's home. This is her bathroom, where there was no ventilation in the bathroom, and it was a lot of peeling paint. It was mold there, and our contractors had to go in and set up some type of ventilation system so that air can circulate in that bathroom. Well, if a lot of you are familiar with lead, you know that for windowsills, it should be less than 40. For floors, it should be less than 40. The rate should be less than 40. And for windows, it should be less than 250. And you'll see why I'm showing you this in the next couple of slides. This is another child care provider's home. We're peeling and chipping paint around the windows, and we were able to come in and replace this entire window. This is a survey of about 11 child care homes that we looked at, and one child care provider's window sill, like I said, it had to be less than $250. It was $10,000, which was very, very, very high. So we had to definitely go in and make some changes in that. But we have something in Philadelphia called a super clean. So once we finish doing the remediations to the child care provider's homes, we have staff that will come in and do a wipe down of all the surfaces. And once that wipe down is done, then we do another lead dust test. So we think our super cleans are great because that house that was $10,000, after our super clean, the lead dust result was $13,000. So that was pretty successful. Here's another area where we found peeling and chipping paint. We replaced a lot of doors and houses. We did a lot of painting. Here's the area where a child care provider in her basement, she wanted to insulate the basement to keep it warm, and she was doing it herself. So she took this fiberglass insulation and was squeezing it in between the beams in the wall. And when we came there and we saw this and the dust and everything, we had to explain to the child care provider, this is unbelievably dangerous. Not only for the children that come to her home every day for daycare, but for her own family that's living in that house day and night, breathing that. So we had to take care of that. So basically, what we want to do with Healthy Homes for Child Care, what we wanted to do, because our grant has ended effective October 31st, and we didn't get funded again for another 3 years, but we're going to try to keep the program going the best way we can at the health department. And our basis is that we just want to keep these children safe. The parents that will bring these children to these family daycare programs don't make a lot of money. They're in school. They are in jobs that are making low wages. They can't really afford the big daycare centers. So it's easy for them to bring them to a woman in their neighborhood that's licensed to do daycare. That woman is going to charge them less than a center, and it's, you know, probably in walking distance or bus distance away from their own home. Some of the conclusions we found was that hazards are higher in home-based daycare. Some of the big daycare centers, they can afford to have people come in and make necessary repairs to their centers. These small daycare programs, they can't. An increased number of children were reached through our Healthy Homes for Child Care program. Previously, we had a Healthy Homes grant where we just took a look at individual homes of children that were diagnosed with asthma. We found with Healthy Homes for Child Care, we would get more bang for our buck if we looked at family child care providers that were caring for 6 to 12 children on a daily basis in that one house. So we thought that our program reached a lot of children. We have documented evidence to show that there's been a reduction of lead hazards in the home. It's a great program for people in the community because it helps people in the community work. And we reached out to not only the daycare providers, but the entire population as well in the city. We found that our workshops were successful. The evaluations were always positive. The average attendance was 26. The child care providers, they all reported that they have learned something from what we've taught them. They were very receptive of the workshops, and they continuously call asking us to repeat workshops, fire safety, food handling, sanitation. All of our workshops were free when normally they would contact other organizations in the child care business, and the workshops were 25 or more. The infant and child CPR from the American Red Cross is an average of $65. We provided it to the child care providers for free. And that concludes my presentation, but I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge my director, Peter Palermo, who's here from Philadelphia, who directed this whole project, as well as Hernando Perez from Drexel University School of Public Health. He handled all of our evaluation and data collection. Laura Lyne from the National Nursing Centers Consortium, she isn't here with us today, but she was a contributor, and Miguel Ramirez, my coworker, he also went into the homes and evaluated the child care providers. And on the back table is our brochure, the abstract itself, and a copy of all the slides. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I would imagine that all of the now five, after you hear my presentations, if we were to put all our budgets together, it would probably be a drop in the